Good day, and welcome to the 4SC Q1 2016 review conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gieskens. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Emma. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. My name is Wolfgang Gieskens, and I'm the IR officer at 4SC. It is our pleasure today to welcome you to our conference call on 4SC's key developments in Q1 2016 and our outlook for the remainder of the year. Joining me on the phone is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. Daniel Vitt, our Chief Development Officer and Chief Scientific Officer, will be available for the Q&A session later on as well. In the press release related to this conference call, which we published earlier today, we indicated that there is a presentation available for download on our website. You may find this document in the Investors and Media section under Events and Presentations in sub-menu Conference Calls and Webcasts. The presentation will support the comments we make today. Before I turn it over to Enno, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products, services, or future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risk and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I would like to turn the call over to Enno now.
Thank you, Wolfgang, and welcome everyone to our Q1 conference call. It's a pleasure once again having you all on this call today. Maybe to add to Wolfgang's comments, for those of you who don't have the presentation in front of you should also be able to follow that presentation or my wording without that presentation. Let's have a look at the outline of the presentation on slide number three. Our plan is to provide you with an update on our operational highlights and the development of our cash funds for the recent quarter, as well as an outlook for the remainder of the year. At the end of the call, we will, as usual, open up the line for your Q&A, and I may have some personal words as well today. First of all, we would like to draw your attention to the new format of our quarterly report. As you will be aware, since the end of November 2015, companies listed at the Prime segment or the Prime Standard segment of the Frankfurt Stock Exchange are no longer obliged to prepare full-length quarterly financial reports. Instead, the regulatory requirements for the three and for the nine-month reportings have been limited to quarterly communication with a much less extensive minimum scope. We at 4SC developed a concise format that highlights the key developments and financial metrics and cuts off everything beyond that. In this way, we wish to better meet the needs of the capital markets readership. However, we are looking forward to receiving your feedback on the reporting format, so please feel free to comment on this later on during Q&A or also afterwards. Coming to slide number four, focusing on the operating highlights in Q1 of 2016. Q1 2016 was another very eventful quarter at 4SC, and we continue to make progress at the different levels of the company. In total, we caught a good start in 2016, I would say, and we are happy to point out some of our operating highlights. With regard to the overall corporate strategy, EpiScience for Life, we further focused our development in the field of epigenetics and in particular on our two clinical oncology products, resminostat and 4C-22. Coming to resminostat, based on a very intense and very productive interaction with the EMA, we received the scientific advice from the European Medicinal Agency, and finally, the execution of the planned phase II trial of resminostat in cutaneous T-cell lymphoma or CTCL is ready to go. We have also the contract with the CRO signed, for instance, CMC material is available, so we can kick off this trial. On the other side, with resminostat, the FDA approved our investigational new drug application or IND and we could start clinical trial activities in the U.S. using resminostat in combination with the standard therapy, like, for instance, sorafenib, as first-line therapy in liver cancer or HCC. With regard to 4C202, very promising positive preclinical data has been presented by 4C on the ITOC3 conference here in Munich in March, and our scientists performed a series of experiments in mice and found that 4C202 attacks tumors by epigenetic and immunomodulatory mechanisms. 4C202 ensures that genes silenced in cancer cells are read again, or that excessively active genetic regions in cancer cells are downregulated. Gene activation, for example, leads to expression of molecules that attract the body's own immune cells. Downregulation of hyperactive genes in the tumor tissues, on the other hand, could be stopped secretion of immune suppressive molecules. Thus, endogenous immune cells in the vicinity of the cancer tissue were no longer suppressed, but on the contrary, were strengthened. So they could enter into the tumor tissue and attack it, which is a great success. Our scientists also demonstrated that 4C22 works synergistically with PD-1 inhibitors, for example, thus possibly providing a more efficient way of fighting tumors and tackling some challenges which immune oncology assets or agents still have. For example, boosting the response rates, which appears to be low once in a while. This extremely promising immunological data opens up new possibilities for the clinical development of 4C202, particularly treatment strategies for patients with hematological tumors on the one hand side, or small cell lung cancer, for example, as a solid tumor on the other side. We are very eager to start testing 4C202 in clinical phase 2 studies as soon as possible. Last but not least, let me point out once again our focus on the epigenetic clinical program, and therefore we also established a new corporate identity for C. EpiScience for Life is the slogan, and we have this now also available on our slides, on our web pages, and so on. So you will find that regularly from now on. An additional topic was the sale of parts of the 4C discovery operations to BioNTech Small Molecules on 29th of April. This was signed and also closed. And, for instance, the employees, 22 actually, were transferred to the BioNTech entity on May 1st. Some comments or some details regarding the discovery transaction. So this was a pure asset deal, and we sold the operational units only, which is, for instance, lab equipment, furniture, screening compounds, technology platform, foreskin software, and so on. The product candidates remain within 4C Discovery and are open for future partnering and licensing or for own in-house development, moving downstream the value chain. So the company 4C Discovery GmbH still stays with 4C, with the whole company. 22 employees, as I indicated, have been transferred to BioNTech according to the paragraph 613 ABGB, which is a German law, which secures the transfer of these employees. This allows us to further focus 4C, to keep it very lean and keep it flexible, and to keep cost further under control. Coming to slide number 5, development of cash funds in Q1 of 2016. So the cash balance and funds available at the end of the quarter or at the end of March 2016 was at 17.1 million euros, coming down from 22.8 million euros at the end of 2015. The monthly average operational cash burn of 1.2 million euros is on plan and is slightly up from 1.0 million in Q4 of 2015. And this was expected and is, as I said, on track, mainly driven by the development costs for preparing planned phase 2 trial of resminostat in CTCL within the anticipated range. As a one-time event and as a non-operational effect, we had the repayment in full of 1.5 million euros of a shareholder loan from our major shareholder, Santo Holding. We paid back this loan, plus we also conducted the payment of the interest according or coming alongside with this loan. So this is completely off the balance sheet, and we do have quite a bit of interest rate savings here as a result out of that. Slide number 6, financial outlook. Overall, we have had a good operational quarter, and we made good progress with our pipeline products, as I already indicated. And based on our current forecast, the funds will be sufficient into 2018 and will cover key portions of our phase 2 trial of resminostat in CTCL. The average monthly burn rate or cash burn is still estimated to be around 1.2 million euros per month for the financial year 2016, and then should reduce in 2017 once the CTCL trial is on cruising altitude, if I may say so. The average cash need and also cash reach is not impacted, or at least not significantly impacted, by the sale of our 4C discovery operations. On the one hand side, we reduced our personal and material expenses, plus we received a 650,000 cash in from selling our discovery assets here. On the other hand, the increased, or we had some increased cost for phase two, for the phase two trial for CTCL based on the scientific advice from the European EMA. Due to the planned recruitment of 150 patients now instead of 120, plus adding a rollover option for patients progressing within the placebo arm, we have a slightly higher cost anticipated during the years to come in that regard, which at the end levels out with the savings from the discovery transaction. Slide number 7, upcoming operating milestones. We are expecting a range of major milestones to be reached this year and rather soon. By mid-year, initial clinical centers will open for the resminostat phase 2 trial in CTCL in Europe, and the first patient in will follow suit, which hopefully should be September of this year. And as already mentioned, the trial design is in alignment with the comprehensive EMA advice. Initial results could be available at the end of 2018. In case of positive data, we anticipate an immediate filing for conditional approval in 2019 in the European Union. Until June, we are also expecting results from the Yakult-Honsha resminostat phase 2 trial in liver cancer in Japan. Positive data would pave the way for pivotal studies in all global regions, actually. Under this scenario, 4C's own focus would be on Europe and the U.S., while our partner Yakult and Menarini are likely to undertake further development work in Japan and the other Asian-Pacific countries, respectively. It is important to note, however, that additional external funding and or suitable development partners would be required to conduct any advanced stage clinical follow-on activities in HCC in the Western world, which are not covered by our two existing partners, Yakult and Menarini. Slide number 8, upcoming milestones number 2. We also intend to secure further development of 4C22 based on the great data that we have seen recently. 4C22 has a very unique epigenetic mode of action. There are promising results from the phase 1 trial with blood cancer patients, and the preclinical testing indicates immunomodulatory activity. As mentioned before, we presented related positive data at the ITOC-2-ITOC-3 conference in Munich in March this year, and we will present additional new data soon at the ASCO conference in Chicago in June. So stay tuned and make sure you get that news. We are confident that it has become much more attractive recently for potential partners to take a close look at this epigenetic product. Thus, we will continue to target new partnerships or financing for the phase 2 development of 4C22, which is in line with our focus on epigenetics. Our continued focus on our own epigenetic substances in clinical testing and on further ramping up epigenetic expertise will also keep us very disciplined regarding the development of non-core areas with no room for major investments in other fields. In that context, we will continue to target collaborations for the further clinical development of our third oncology compound for C205, which in phase one already proved to be safe and well tolerated, and which comes with a recommended phase two dosing scheme already. Said that, this is not an epigenetic drug. So to summarize, we are very excited about the future of 4C, and we look forward to updating you with plenty of news flow in due course on the progress of our innovative cancer compounds, in particular resminostat and 202. Slide number 8. Before we end the conference call, I would like to thank the shareholders and the investment community for their support in 4C. As you may know, I will be leaving the company in June, and I will have my last operational working day on June 17th, the day of our 2016 annual general meeting, by the way. And with this being my last quarterly call at 4C here today, I would like to finish by thanking you for putting your confidence in me to lead 4C since April of 2013 and allowing me to experience in total more than 10 years of management board service for the company. This was a very exciting, very vivid time and generated a lot of experience. Thank you very much. Succession recruiting is still ongoing, and we will update you as soon as we have news to announce. However, this is responsibility of the supervisory board, and this is not a management action, so we will keep you posted here. With that, I would like to thank you for your interest, and we are now open to your questions. Operator, please take over.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 or the asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Marietta Menzies from Equint. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. So first of all, I would also like to thank you very much, Enno, for all you've done for us over the last few years and wish you all the best in your new role. On to the questions. On the CTCL, I was just wondering if you can go into a little bit more detail about the feedback you've had from the EMA, so especially on the design. So the study is going to be a little bit larger and longer than planned, but are all of the other features that you had in past presentations, are they still valid, or has any part of the actual clinical trial design changed? And also on the CTCL, about the financing, I was just wondering what proportion of the study, which is now obviously a little bit larger and longer, will not be covered by the current cash position. I mean, are we talking about a couple million euro extra that you'll need to find to ultimately complete the study in 2018, or could that really be substantially more? And then I just finally wanted to try my luck on resminostat in liver cancer. I mean, it's obviously hard to speculate about next steps while we're waiting for the Japanese data, but maybe you could just share some general thoughts on how the Stivarga resource data have influenced your thinking. Is it fair to say that at this stage, a frontline trial of Nexavar and resminostat would really be the only way forward? And would you actually consider doing a phase two in combination with Stivarga to guide your future decisions? And just generally speaking, how attractive do you think Western markets are at the moment for liver cancer, given the relatively low incidence and also some of the emerging reimbursement constraints, with in particular De Varga being the latest casualty in Germany, and I realize that was not in liver cancer, but I just think generally it looks like a very tough environment, so any thoughts there would be hugely appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marietta. Thank you for being on the call, and we are happy to take your three overall questions here. And while I'll cover the financing part, I would like to ask Daniel to come back to your CTCL feedback, EMA, and trial design, and also with regard to resminostat-HCC, Western World, and sorafenib combination. Daniel, Ray, you want to start?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. I think that really is a good and important thing. We had very lively discussions with the EMA, and I think they recognize that there's a high medical need in CTCL in Europe. There's nothing approved in second line for advanced stage CTCL. So we ended up with a proposal of a maintenance trial in a randomized setting, and we had to adjust some parameters after the discussions, and I think two major things changed. One is that we now will recruit 150 patients in 10 countries and 50 centers, which is a lot of work to do, but I think it's feasible. And what we also did, we added a rollover arm to the trial, so the patients who are on placebo have the opportunity to switch over to treatment with resminostat after progress. And that also gives us additional, more supportive data for induction in a small set of patients, which we hope will support discussions for approval later on down the road. And also one important factor coming in, I think that the strength of resminostat we are expecting in this trial is a secondary endpoint on a patient-related outcome, which is itch score. So really something very important, clinical benefit for patients is now included in this trial, and we are really looking forward starting off the trial and getting the data.
Sorry, can I just follow up? What was the score called? I couldn't quite hear that.
So it's an itch, so pruritus score.
Oh, itch, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the second question regarding liver cancer, I think it's a good point. I think a frontline trial with all comers, I think it's still a challenge. I think it's a challenge and indication. But we yet don't know what's coming out of the Japanese data, so we would also consider using our biomarker. We are evaluating ZFP64, which may end up in a stratified subpopulation. But that's still speculation. And, of course, this Divaga data is out now. However, I think the overall picture has not really changed there. I think that's an additional option for second line now. I still think that the market is attractive. It's an orphan indication in Europe and U.S. We have orphan drug designation in Europe and the U.S. And it's a high medical need. So we think that is still a valid path forward. However, as Enno mentioned, that would need to be financed on top of our current finances.
Thank you, Daniel. And speaking of finance, coming back to your third question. So, I mean, the extra work or the extra cost that comes around here is basically on the 30 more patients that we have. And this kind of, if you want to keep the timelines, which is our clear intention, then this means going up from 7 to 10 countries most likely and going up to 50 clinical centers. But this does not affect the timeline, so the goal is still to complete this, or the FD, to have the initial data around in late 2018. But it does increase the cost a little bit, so this part has to be pushed a little bit more. Obviously, the second part of the trial then can run into 2019, but this is not crucial for the initial data. Overall, we are probably looking at an extra cost of roughly 1.8 million euros, which is pretty much leveling out with what we have from the discovery transaction.
But just to clarify, so the first part of the study is pretty much financed by the current cash position, and then it's the second part of the study that would require additional financing. But your current cash position can basically pretty much get you to filing and approval if things go well.
Not quite at this stage. So currently, with the current budgets, we are financed until roughly Q2 2018. So there is a little gap that we will still have to close in the months to come, but we are working on that as we speak.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Linda Pomeroy from Edison. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. First one is around the sale to BioNTech. I just wanted to check. I understand it's an asset sale. So the product candidates are staying with you. But can you talk a bit more about how you're going to utilize or the arrangement about utilizing the services for a person a year moving forward? And also what the impact on revenue is. Is it going to be, I'm thinking about forecasting, and I presume there'll be, 4 months included, and then there'll be no more. So that's around that. And the second question is around the Menarini and the reviewing of the clinical development options. Just wondering if you had any kind of thoughts or indications on timing when we might know what they're planning to do. Thanks.
Linda, if you could... maybe you repeat your first question. It was really hard to understand acoustically.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. So I understand that you sold the assets and the product candidates are staying with you, but you have a person year's worth where you can continue using the services. Is that correct?
I'm still not quite sure whether I got you.
Okay, so in the release it says that so that you're granted the right to temporarily utilize research services provided by BioNTech small molecules worth a person year. So I just wanted to understand what that entails basically. So 4SC can continue to use services provided by BioNTech, is that right?
So I mean so BioNTech took over the scientific services, so to say, and in addition, what we have, since we obviously don't have these capacities in-house anymore, we have the opportunity in a certain defined framework to call off or to take benefit of certain discovery services at BioNTech small molecules. This is basically to be done within 1 year. That's the time frame, but it also has a cap on the financial side, so to say, so it's not bottom left to our benefit, unfortunately, but it should cover the major objectives that we want to address in the months and weeks to come with regard also to Risminostat and to doing some fine-tuning.
And
right.
Maybe I can shortly add one thing here. So what we have kept here is all our epigenetic expertise. So the biology team is here in place at 4C, and even with a quite intense work on our two clinical stage molecules, but also our epigenetic upstream pipeline, new targets and so on. So I think that the innovative part here is maintained at 4C. And we will make use of MedChem services and so on from our former team now with BioNTech.
Coming back to your second question, Menarini. Obviously, as Menarini is covering the rest of Asia-Pacific ex-Japan, which is under control of your Kulhonsha, Menarini is also looking and waiting for the data to come from Japan with regard to HCC. Obviously, in China, non-small cell lung cancer, and more importantly, HCC are the largest cancer indications, so they are aiming at those. Therefore, they would like to understand the data. They do have other indications in mind, but this is obviously not yet fully determined, which they will follow up. And they will fine-tune their activities based on the HCC data that we will hopefully receive soon from our Japanese colleagues. And then go from there, which means that clinical trial activities should not be realistic prior to 2017, while they could shape it in 2016 already and queue up at the CFDA for approving these trials.
Great. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
As a reminder to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. There are no further questions in the queue. That will conclude today's Q&A session. Pardon me. We have a Thomas Schlüssner from EQTS GmbH. Please go ahead.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thomas Schiesle, calling. Question on the CTCL improvements or development. What will be the next steps you are heading for? When will first patient in, especially, and what will be the recruiting rate you are aiming for? Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your question. I think that's always difficult to say exactly when the first patient comes in. It depends on the screening procedure. Definitely, we are currently already in the clinic. We have performed most pre-study visits. We are in the phase of submitting the legal documents to the competent authorities in the countries. So we expect to open the trial in summer and to have the first patient maybe in September. As far as possible to predict that you have screened and really included and dosed the first patient. But that's all so far. So it's pretty much on track. It's still the same timing we had in mind in last December. So I think that's a really good progress of the preparations on this trial.
Do you see any hurdles and obstacles concerning the recruiting of the patients?
Well, the recruitment calculations were based on a careful evaluation of the feasibility. We did feasibility check on the centers. We have some good experience also with our CRO we are using in the indication, so I think we have a pretty good idea of the recruitment rate. And you can see by the numbers I was mentioning, 50 centers in 10 countries, we are not underestimating the challenges we have there. I think we set up everything to have really a project management in place which can really deal with this high number of centers. It's a typical orphan indication. That's the thing, yeah.
Indeed. So I wish good luck for this study trial. And by the way, good luck to Enno and many thanks from the shareholders of 4SC for the good work and engagement with 4SC. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I would now like to turn the call back to your host for any additional closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Emma. And then I'm about to conclude this call. So thanks again for dialing in and listening to our Q1 numbers. And I'm quite sure in the next few months we will have a lot of things to talk about and to tell you. Looking forward to that. Stay tuned to what we report. Stay tuned to our data at ASCO. And, hope to see some of you at the AGM and then have a good time. Thank you very much and talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen, and you may now disconnect.